Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today we're going to dive into the wild world of global information warfare. It's a topic that, honestly, it's a little unnerving, you know?
Yeah.
But we're going to be using this in-depth report and newsletter, Watching the Influence War. It's from all.net, dated July 2024. And it paints, like I said, a pretty intense picture of what's going on.
Yeah, it's a little sobering.
Yeah.
But there are glimmers of hope in there.
Yeah, that's what we're going to focus on today, right?
Right, the solutions.
Potential solutions.
Potential solutions. So get ready, everyone. We're going deep.
All right, diving in. One of the things that really struck me in reading this report was how they lay out the systematic dismantling of so many of the systems that were meant to protect us from disinformation.
It's not just bad actors anymore.
Right. This is it's a coordinated effort.
Yeah, and it's scary. It's really scary. The report specifically calls out the termination of Stanford Internet Observatory's election misinformation program.
Right.
Which, okay, maybe it wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
But they were doing something. They were doing important work. And we saw the effects of that going away.
And then you've got the gutting of the social media companies' counter-disinformation teams. It's like, yeah, like we're literally going backwards.
Absolutely. And you see that, well, I mean, we've seen this play out, obviously, with Twitter.
Right.
Becoming X.
Right.
But goes beyond just that platform, right? I mean, Facebook obviously has had its own well-documented struggles with privacy and manipulation. And now even LinkedIn under Microsoft is showing these signs of vulnerability.
It's like everywhere you look.
Yeah.
It's really concerning that even some of these AI, generative AI companies that initially had safety teams in place are now downsizing them.
Right.
With the belief that AI itself can solve the problem.
Right.
It's like,
right.
How is that going to work?
Yeah, it's
it's a little backwards.
It's a little bit like trying to fight fire with fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a really bad idea most of the time.
Yeah. And it's not just limited to the tech world either. I mean, the report talks about how even government agencies, particularly the ones that are focused on election security, have been hampered by, you know, political roadblocks and
funding issues. Lack of you know, focus from the top.
Exactly. It's crazy. And the report, it's interesting. It actually names names.
It does.
Like Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
He's been very vocal about using disinformation as a weapon.
Right. He famously said that he was glad to be out of government so he could get his hands back on his weapons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which he was referring to these disinformation campaigns.
It's a little chilling.
It's a chilling statement.
Yeah, it is. It's really chilling. And they give concrete examples in the report of these tactics in action. They talk about the Sinclair Radio Network.
Oh, yeah.
Pushing the narrative about Biden's cognitive decline to its huge network of local affiliates.
Playing directly into some of these talking points that are coming from certain political factions.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, Biden's performance, particularly in that June debate, kind of lent some credibility to these claims inadvertently.
Right, right. It's like they almost prime the audience with this disinformation.
Exactly.
So they're more likely to interpret the real events through that same lens.
You create the conditions for people to accept this information because they've already kind of been softened up to it.
Exactly.
And then you add in the manipulation of platforms like Wikipedia to shape the narrative.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly around the conflict in the Middle East.
Yeah. That one's really scary to me because these are, you know,
seemingly neutral platforms.
Right. Like, this is where people are going to get information.
And it undermines that trust.
Right.
If you can manipulate those platforms,
yeah,
it really undermines trust or sources that a lot of people rely on.
And then, of course, you've got generative AI, which adds a whole other layer of complexity.
Yeah. This is where it gets this is where it gets really unsettling, right?
Yes, yes. And that's what the report is arguing, right? That generative AI, with its ability to create this incredibly realistic and personalized content.
Customization of disinformation.
Wow.
Which I think is really powerful, right?
Right.
You can tailor this disinformation now to specific individuals to make it even more convincing.
Yeah, it's like your own personalized propaganda machine coming at you.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. So it really underscores just how important it is to understand how this information war is actually being waged and who the players are.
Right. And the report breaks down these factions in a very stark way.
Yeah.
On one side, you have these nation-state coalitions.
Right.
With autocracies, you know, like Russia, China, Iran, pitted against democracies like the U.S., the EU. And then there's this religious dimension as well. You've got the radical Islamists versus the Christian nationalists.
Yeah.
It's a global battle of ideology.
It is.
It's crazy. And we're caught in the crossfire.
You know?
Just trying to make sense of it all.
Trying to figure out what is real.
Yeah. And what's really concerning is that the report really doesn't sugarcoat this. It paints this pretty bleak picture of this information landscape where it's just getting harder and harder to know what's true and what's false.
Right. And the defenses that we have, you know, to counter this disinformation are being systematically dismantled at the same time that the offensive tactics are becoming more sophisticated and they're getting more funding.
Right.
So what do? The report offers a pretty radical suggestion, the creation of a new underground.
Yeah. This is where things get.
Buckle up.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
They argue that these traditional methods of resistance, you know, that we've relied on in the past, they're just not effective anymore.
Right.
They even pose this question in the report. What if the Nazis had access to our technology?
I mean, hold on. Comparing this to Nazi Germany?
It's provocative.
It's a bit much.
It's a provocative comparison.
Yeah.
And the report doesn't shy away from it at all. But the point they're trying to make is that the level of surveillance and data collection that we have now makes these traditional resistance movements, which rely on, you know, open communication and being able to organize, it makes them incredibly vulnerable.
Right. So if we can't rely on the traditional methods, what does this new underground look like? They mentioned things like clean hardware, safe operating environments. What does that even mean?
That's a good question. And that's what we'll explore in the next part of our deep dive.
Stay tuned, folks. Things are about to get really interesting.
So to understand this new underground, the report suggests we look at, well, the models of pornography and crime networks.
Whoa, okay. I'm a little curious about that comparison.
Yeah.
Pornography and crime networks, those seem a little extreme.
Well, so the report's not endorsing their activities, obviously.
Right.
But it's saying that these networks have had to solve similar problems.
Okay.
To the ones that we're facing with information warfare.
Okay, so like what?
So you think about it. They need these really secure communication channels.
Yeah.
Ways to evade detection.
Mm-hmm.
Ways to recruit members and organize discreetly.
Yeah.
All of these things are really relevant in this information battleground.
So it's about studying their operational strategies, not so much their ethics.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense. I see that. But let's be realistic. Most people aren't comfortable operating in the shadows like that.
Right.
You know, it feels counterintuitive in today's digital age where we're so used to sharing everything online.
It's true. It would require a pretty fundamental change in our approach to communication and information sharing. We'd have to, you know, we have to rediscover discretion and secrecy operating under the radar.
It almost sounds like a digital detox, but with way higher stakes.
Right. Exactly.
So, okay, what would that look like? Like, they keep mentioning clean hardware and safe operating environments. Those terms are a bit vague to me.
Yeah, so the report actually suggests starting with older technology. So think laptops. Without all of the built-in surveillance features, older operating systems that are less vulnerable to hacking.
God.
Even things like shortwave radios for communication.
Wow, we're going old school.
It's about creating this parallel system that is, you know, less susceptible to all this pervasive monitoring.
Right. So are you suggesting we all just become like digital Luddites?
No, not at all. It's not about abandoning technology.
Okay.
But it's about being more selective and strategic.
Okay.
Thinking about the right tool for the job. And for sensitive communication, older, less connected tech might be the way to go.
So like for sensitive stuff, go old school.
Right.
But for everything else.
Use your smartphone.
Got it.
The report also talks about using strong encryption and steganography.
Steganography? That sounds like a spy movie.
Yeah, it is a technique that spies use, but it's also accessible to anyone.
Really?
It involves hiding information within other data. So like embedding messages within images or audio files.
Oh, that's really clever. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, and that's why the report emphasizes building a community of knowledge and expertise.
Right.
So this underground movement needs collaboration, sharing skills and resources, and, you know, learning from each other.
So imagine a network of people who can teach each other how to evade surveillance, how to build secure communication, how to decode these hidden messages.
Exactly.
That's pretty wild. It sounds like we're living in a cyberpunk novel.
A little bit.
But let's be honest, building this kind of underground network is a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
Is it even feasible?
The report acknowledges the challenges.
Yeah.
But the argument is it's becoming more and more necessary as traditional methods just become less and less effective.
Right.
We have to find new ways to protect ourselves.
Yeah. But wouldn't operating in this way in secrecy and with this kind of paranoia, wouldn't that just create more distrust and division?
That's a valid concern. But the report's argument is that this new underground wouldn't be about, you know, creating some exclusive club or operating in a purely reactive manner.
Right.
It's about developing this set of skills and tools that can be shared and disseminated.
Right.
Empowering individuals to be more discerning consumers of information.
So it's not about retreating from the world.
No.
But about engaging with it in a more informed way, in a more resilient way.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about, you know, creating a parallel system that can counterbalance those dominant narratives,
mm-hmm.
promote critical thinking, and ultimately strengthen the fabric of our society.
It's a bold vision, and it definitely requires us to think differently.
It does.
But maybe if we are truly facing an information war, maybe these are the kinds of tactics that we need to start thinking about.
Yeah, and the report makes it very clear that those who choose to participate in this underground need to be aware of the consequences.
Right.
Surveillance is getting more sophisticated every day.
Yeah.
And those who are challenging the dominant narratives, they may face repercussions.
That's a good point. It's a good reminder that the fight for truth and information has always been risky. I mean, throughout history, those who have spoken truth to power have often faced, you know, persecution, censorship.
Absolutely.
It comes with the territory.
But those individuals and movements are the ones who have been instrumental in shaping a better world. You know, they expose corruption, they challenge injustice, they inspire others to fight for what's right. And this report seems to be suggesting that we're at a similar crossroads.
Yeah.
Where the stakes are really high and the need for courage and action is paramount.
This has been a lot to process.
It has.
I'm sure our listeners are feeling it too. It's heavy stuff.
It is.
But in the final part of our deep dive, we're going to try to bring this down to a personal level a little bit.
Right.
We're going to look at what all of this means for us as individuals.
Yeah.
What steps can we take to become more informed and more resilient
mm-hmm.
in this crazy age of information warfare?
Yeah, what can we actually do?
All right, deep divers, we've covered some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, we have.
Information warfare, how it's escalating, how our defenses are being eroded. This whole idea of a new underground, it's a lot.
It really is.
It is. But, you know, the report doesn't just leave us hanging, right? It offers some actual practical guidance.
It does. It tries to offer some hope and some concrete steps we could take.
So that's good. Right. That's good. Because I was starting to feel a little overwhelmed with the doom and gloom.
Yeah.
So what kind of advice do they offer?
So one of the key takeaways is the importance of becoming a more discerning consumer of information.
Okay.
It's about moving beyond passive consumption.
Yeah.
And really engaging with the information that we encounter.
So it's not just reading or watching something.
No.
It's about interrogating it, like almost becoming an information detective.
Yeah.
Okay, so like what are we looking out for? What are the red flags?
So the report highlights some classic propaganda techniques, things like emotionally charged language, appeals to fear or prejudice, use of logical fallacies, all these things that are designed to bypass our critical thinking and kind of make us more susceptible to manipulation.
Right, because those emotional appeals are so powerful. It's easy to get caught up in that, you know, especially if it's something you already agree with.
Right, exactly. That's why it's so important to check facts and seek out different perspectives.
Yeah.
And be really wary of information that only confirms what you already think.
Right. So it's about getting out of those echo chambers, being willing to challenge your own assumptions. And I like how the report mentions that it's not just about protecting yourself, but it's also about your community. And ultimately, it's about our democracy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, this disinformation thrives in these environments where there's a lack of trust, where people are divided.
Mm-hmm.
So when we can all become more critical thinkers, when we can share accurate information with others and push mm-hmm. back against those falsehoods, we're actually making a difference.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like a ripple effect.
It is.
Individual actions leading to a healthier information ecosystem. But let's be realistic. Some of these solutions, you know, like building a whole new underground network seem, I don't know, a little daunting. What can we do like right now in our everyday lives to kind of push back against this stuff?
So the report suggests supporting organizations that are working to combat disinformation, advocating for policies that promote transparency and accountability.
Okay.
And educating ourselves and others about the tactics that are being used to manipulate us.
So it's about taking action. both as individuals and as a community.
It is. It's definitely a long game.
Yeah.
The report makes it really clear this isn't a battle that's going to be won overnight.
No.
It's an ongoing struggle that requires, you know, vigilance, critical thinking, a real commitment to truth.
And I think that's the key takeaway here. You know, we all have a role to play in this information war. It's not just up to the experts to fix this problem.
Right. We can't be passive. We need to be active participants. Questioning what we see, seeking out diverse perspectives, and holding accountable those who are spreading this disinformation.
Well said. So, deep divers, as we wrap up this deep dive into information warfare, we leave you with a final thought. What steps can you take to become a more informed and resilient citizen? It's a big question, one we hope will stay with you.
Knowledge is power. And in this war for information, we all need to be equipped to think critically and recognize the truth.
So until next time, Dupe Divers, stay curious, stay critical, and stay informed.